December 2003.
Section A.
Question 1. Did you see Martha just now? I want to ask her to go with us to the concert tonight.
She must be around somewhere. You may still be able to catch her.
What does the woman mean?
Question 2. I can't bear the air pollution in this city anymore. It's getting worse and worse.
You said it. We've never had so many factories before.
What does the man mean?
Question 3. Just think, I went through so much work on my paper only to get a C.
Well, I don't think grades are everything. What you've learned in the process will prove useful in your future work.
What does the woman imply? Question 4. My brother is coming this weekend, and I was thinking the three of us could go out to dinner Saturday night. Any suggestions?
It's up to you. I don't know the restaurants here that well.
What does the woman mean?
Question 5. I couldn't have won the award without your assistance. Thank you very much.
You've been working so hard. You deserve the honor.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 6. I'd like to sign up for some voluntary work with the Environment Council. I hear it's a great way to connect with the community.
It sure is. But you'll have to put in a lot of hours, so you must leave some room in scheduling your time.
What does the woman imply?
Question 7. Can you tell me when I can leave here, Doctor? I have some important business to attend to.
That depends on how your condition reacts to our treatment. You may leave as soon as the bleeding stops. I think that'll take a couple of days.
What does the doctor mean?
Question 8. I'm told that Alice is trying to find a job in an electronics company.
As far as I know, she is good at anything but electronics.
What does the woman mean? Question 9. Jimmy is going on a journey tomorrow. Shall we have a farewell dinner tonight?
Do you think it's necessary? You know, he'll be away just for a few days.
What does the woman mean? Question 10. I thought you were going to call me last night about the plans for the conference on language teaching.
Sorry, I should have, but Tom and Jane stopped by and stayed until midnight.
What do we learn from the conversation? Section B.
Passage 1. The Golden Gate Bridge joins the beautiful city of San Francisco with the suburbs to the north. Each day, about 100,000 automobiles cross the bridge, taking people to and from the city. More than half of them cross the bridge during the morning and evening rush hours. With traffic so heavy, the trip is not pleasant. Now, however, there is at least one group of happy commuters. These are the people who travel under the bridge instead of on it. They go to work by boat and enjoy it so much that most of them say they will never go by car again. The ferry they take is spacious, quiet, and comfortable. Commuters can enjoy the sun on deck. In the morning, they can have breakfast in the coffee shop. And in the evening, they can order a drink in the bar while looking at the beautiful scenery. The trip takes only 30 minutes and is not very costly. But best of all, being on a boat seems to make people feel more friendly toward each other. There has already been a marriage of two commuters who met on the ferry. Because the ferry has been so successful, there are plans to use other, still larger boats. There is also a proposal for a high-speed boat that will make the trip in only 15 minutes. But not everyone is happy about that. A lot of people feel that half an hour is just enough time to relax.
Questions 11 to 13 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 11. According to the speaker, how do commuters feel about crossing the Golden Gate Bridge by car? Question 12. What does the speaker say about ferry commuters? Question 13. How do commuters respond to plans for the future of the ferry? Passage 2. How many teeth have you had filled in the past 2 years? If you follow the advice of Dr. Fostick, you may be able to reduce the number of your visits to a dentist. Dr. Fostick conducted a 2-year survey to find out how to prevent or reduce dental decay. 946 students took part in an experiment. 523 students cleaned their teeth within 10 minutes of eating. When possible, they used a toothbrush. When this was impossible, they washed their mouth thoroughly with water. The remaining 423 students merely cleaned their teeth when they went to bed and when they got up in the morning. All the students had their teeth x-rayed at the end of the first and second years. At the end of the first year, the night and morning group had 3 times as many decayed teeth as the clean after each meal group. At the end of the second year, the latter group had 53% fewer decayed teeth than the former group. Dr. Fostick has cleaned his teeth after every meal for 13 years and has not had a single decayed tooth. He pointed out that sugar is a major agent in dental decay, particularly the sugar in sweets, cakes, and soft drinks. Ideally, you should keep a toothbrush in your pocket and use it immediately after you have finished eating. When this is impractical, you can at least make sure that you have a drink of water and let the water through your teeth to force out any particles of food. 7 out of 10 people lose at least half their teeth by the time they are 50. Many have a complete set of false teeth by that time. In any case, neither toothache nor a visit to a dentist is very pleasant. So it is worthwhile making an effort to keep your own teeth as long as possible. The main preventative agent is simply water.
Questions 14 to 16 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 14. According to the passage, what type of food or drink is most likely to cause dental decay? Question 15. What does the passage tell us about the condition of Dr. Fosdick's teeth? Question 16. What does Dr. Fosdick suggest to prevent dental decay? Passage 3. The worldwide organization of the Red Cross stems from the ideal of Henri Dunant, a Swiss banker. In 1838, at the age of 10, Dunant was taken by his father to visit a prison. There he saw prisoners chained together, exercising in the yard, and breaking stones along the road. This experience left a deep impression on him and made him determined to do something for convicts and slaves, and for all who were oppressed and deprived of their liberty. On 24th June 1859, while on his way from Geneva to France, Dunant witnessed the battle between the French and Austrian armies. It was one of the fiercest battles of the 19th century. Shocked by the lack of medical supplies and attention given to the wounded, Dunant decided a volunteer service had to be organized. He gathered together a number of women who tended the hundreds of wounded soldiers of all nationalities and helped the surgeons as best they could. From that battle, Dunant determined to form a body of people who would rally together in times of war and attend to the needs of the wounded and dying. Dunant held that a suffering human being should be helped for his own sake only, without regard to race, religion, or political beliefs. Many European states supported him, and on 22nd August 1864, the first Geneva Convention was signed. This lays down that once a soldier is wounded, he and everyone who comes to his help ceases to be an enemy. A symbol by which the relief workers could be recognized was devised. As a tribute to Switzerland, the symbol was the Swiss flag reversed, that is, a red cross on a white ground. So the Red Cross was born.
Questions 17 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 17. What first led Henri Dunant to think of helping the oppressed? Question 18. What did Henri Dunant do during the battle between the French and Austrian armies? Question 19. What was Henri Dunant's belief when he founded the Red Cross? Question 20. Why was the symbol of the Red Cross designed with a red cross on a white ground?